Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And Steve, I got to tell you, I have never seen this much excitement in the Republican Party, not just the 20 years I've been in New Mexico, but in my life. Have you?
No, it's unprecedented. And keep in mind, our listeners will be listening to this show after the election, so maybe you'll know the outcome, maybe you won't. But we're talking speculatively as we go into the last day before the election, and nationwide, it is this way. I was talking to Ronna McDaniel earlier. She's the chairman of the Republican National Committee. She was traveling with the president over the weekend, I think four rallies in Michigan and or Pennsylvania. I forget which one it was. And just thousands, like 25 and 30,000. But she said the news media would never play the thousands standing along the road as they go in and people honking and encouraging. In New Mexico, we've surpassed 3 million voter contacts, 2.1 million calls. We were last weekend at 900,000 door knocks. I think that we're going to get close to a million by Election Day. These are the things that make a campaign work. But the truism that speaks the loudest is that in politics, the campaign that's having the most fun wins. That's just truth. And look at the Biden events compared to the Trump events. Look at what you're talking about in your town of Grants, New Mexico. Cibola County is not always friendly to Republican candidates. Very tough place when I was running there. Eventually began to win it, but it took a lot of effort. And so I was fascinated to hear what's going on in Grants.
The Republican Party of Cibola County hired me to do a live broadcast on the local station KMIN. I interviewed the local Republican Party candidates out in front of party headquarters. And I've been in Grants for 20 years, and the Democrat Party has always been dominant there. When I'd cover the elections, it was about 70% Democrat to 30% Republican. And yet, when we did this live broadcast, people were driving by and honking in support, waving American flags and Trump flags, something I never thought I'd see in Cibola County. And so it seems like they're getting past the point of just voting D because they always have. The Energy Transition Act has hit Cibola County very hard, losing the power plant and the coal mine. People are losing their jobs. This is real. This isn't just talking heads on TV. People are losing their jobs, losing their houses, moving away. And so they're starting to realize the direction they've gone all these years isn't the right one.
That's playing out across New Mexico and across the country. I was, again, reading an article just today, and it's talking about in Minnesota that scores of Democrats have now come out and endorsed the president. And then it corrected itself. That said scores of Democrat mayors have come out endorsing the president. And so Minnesota is seeing their whole state burn down. They realize that one person is going to stand for the law and one person is going to look the other way while their cities are burning and mayors are saying, wait, we're Democrats, but we're going to endorse Trump. It's just an amazing thing. In Florida, the Democrats years ago had a 2-to-1 majority over Republicans. And now then, even as little as 2016, when Hillary Clinton ran, they had something like 500,000 vote margin registered Democrats over Republicans. That has narrowed now to just 100,000. And so contrast 4 years ago, when Trump got to 2 days before the election, he was down by 19 points in Florida. We just got the report today that he's only down 1 point in Florida. He's going to win Florida going away because most Republicans have said that they want to wait to Election Day to vote. Over the weekend, the rallies with thousands of people, they always do a very good job on the data in those rallies. 74% of the people attending the rally had not voted yet, and they were having to stand out in freezing weather for hours to get into these events. Do you think they're not going to stand in line for hours to vote? And so it doesn't matter what the weather is. I think you're going to see a wave on Election Day. But speaking before the election, I think you're going to see a wave not only across the nation, but also in New Mexico, because these areas like you're talking about, Grants, New Mexico, has been devastated by Democratic policies. The Democrats have been in charge of New Mexico for 90 years, and people are fed up. They're tired of not having jobs. They're tired of the kids moving out of state to find better jobs. They're tired of the crime. They're tired of ever-increasing taxes. They're tired of the deficits which cause those taxes to go up. And so people are voting Republican. Maybe they're registering Republican. Maybe they're not. I saw an article where Native Americans are saying they've got to break with Democrats. They have poverty that exceeds any in the rest of the nation on the Indian reservations. And so they're saying we've got to change direction. So just a fascinating lead-in to this election cycle.
Amy Coney Barrett was confirmed last week to be a Supreme Court justice. Not not a single vote came for the minority party. When Ruth Bader Ginsburg was confirmed for that seat, all but three Republicans voted for her.
Yeah, the Republicans in the Senate did confirm President Trump's nominee of Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. It will be the most striking change from the previous justice, Justice Ginsburg, to this one. Justice Ginsburg was one of the most ardent pro-abortion, even up to the day of birth, abortion supporters in the country. And Amy Coney Barrett is strongly pro-life. Amy Coney Barrett being a working mom, five kids of her own at home, adopted two from Haiti, one a special needs kid. And so you just can't find this sort of a candidate that has got this sterling resume at the top of her law school and then has done dramatic work since then and then has lived a life beyond reproach. And so she's confirmed. That gives the conservatives a 5-1-3 majority, that one being Justice Roberts. I was there when he was nominated and confirmed. We all as Republicans were really upbeat that we got such a sterling candidate. And once he got on the court, he's been very, very unpredictable, sometimes twisting himself into pretzels to vote against the conservative principles that he was put on the court to represent. So it's a 5-1-3 majority, and it's got the Democrats screaming about now packing the court. That's one of the great stakes. If Joe Biden is elected, he's going to pack the court. He's going to put enough more justices in, the liberal justices, and they will control the tempo of the country, not the legitimate majority, which exists right now through the election of President Trump and having given him a Senate to confirm his appointees. But, you know, when you get down to it, of all the disappointing things that I saw, I think the Girl Scouts were involved in one of the most disappointing. Since the first woman came onto the court, they have been very active in holding that person up as a role model and congratulating them. And so they recently came out with Amy Coney Barrett. They had all the rest of the female justices in a picture, then had her by herself and saying, "Congratulations, Justice Barrett, we're glad you're there." The Girl Scouts got such flashback from the liberals across the country that they pulled that down. They gave in to the political correct measures, and so they now have congratulated every female that is on the court except one, and that's probably the one who'll be most friendly to the values that the Girl Scouts used to project. But we're in a time of political correctness, and so they simply have to live with their decisions. I know a lot of people saying they're not going to support them anymore. If that's their value system, they won't support them. The NFL is finding that. The National Basketball Association is finding that. All of these groups that suddenly have become friends to the Marxists who are trying to overthrow the country are finding that the average American is not going to stand up with them. So shame on the Girl Scouts for that retreating in the face of public pressure.
Steve Pearce and I will be back with more Inside New Mexico in just a moment.
On behalf of the New Mexico Department of Health, take COVID-19 precautions. Wash your hands frequently for 20 seconds. Don't touch your face. Use a tissue or your elbow to catch your sneeze or cough. Avoid large gatherings and close contact with sick people, especially if you are elderly or high risk. If you have a cough, fever, or shortness of breath, stay home from work or school. Do not go to the ER or doctor's office without first calling the coronavirus hotline. And avoid all unnecessary out-of-state travel. Help prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. We are talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pearce. Steve, I understand we have some more funny business going on in Doñana County. Tell us what's happening.
Sure, we had to file suit on two different things last week. We filed, first of all, that not all the absentee ballot boxes were being presented in the fashion that's required by the law. They're supposed to be monitored and videoed, and we had three or four of the county clerks who just had a box, like a mailbox, out on the street corner, and you could come up and put as many ballots as you want to in. Absentee ballots, you can only actually deliver for your immediate family. So if you got some for your uncle or things, it's not legal for you to drop them off. That's the reason that we've got challengers there taking a look. So the Secretary of State agreed with us and put out orders, and those counties got into compliance with the law after we filed our lawsuit. Then we filed a second lawsuit because in the absentee ballot process, we're being eliminated out of that by some of the county clerks, and one of those was Doñana County. So you've got four basic processes that are involved in any absentee ballot. You first of all have to get it in. It has to be returned, and it has to be returned by the right day. But then you check for a signature and to see that if it's got the last four digits of the person's social security number. Those are required before you can even open it up and count it. It was during that process that the Doniana County clerk said, you can't be here. So we filed suit, took it to the Supreme Court. They answered within a day that they were not going to hear the case. I was very disappointed in that because I felt like that we were right on the law. We know that we were right on the law. It was a very politicized decision on the part of the Supreme Court saying that we're not going to hear it. They didn't disallow us. They simply said, we're not going to listen to this right now after the election's over. It doesn't do us much good. Well, that first phase finished, and then we were invited back in for phase two and three, which is where they open first the outer envelope and then the inner envelope. And then the fourth phase is when they actually feed the ballot into the machine. And so it was in that phase on Friday that we had four challengers standing there watching the process in Doniana. But during the week after putting us back into the room, the county clerk, Amanda Askins, had allowed her staff to get increasingly restrictive in violation of the law, by the way. We're allowed to be there with our challengers. We're allowed to look at the machines. That's the reason that we're given access to it. The law wants fair elections, the same as we all do. And so they kept putting us further and further back and putting these little tape squares on the floor. You can't step outside the square. Then they put the cones, you know, these traffic cones up, and you can't get outside the cones. So on Friday, we had one of our four workers in Doniana County step outside the circle or outside a square. He wanted to look at an election handbook that was on the desk, and the election worker, the paid staff of the county clerk, Amanda Askins, he snapped at our guy, "Don't touch my things." Well, our guy said something back that probably shouldn't have said, but it was said. So there was a back and forth, a jawing back and forth. It's kind of typical when you get under high pressure stakes, but there was no physical touching or anything like that. Well, the guy who was telling him don't touch his book screams that he's been assaulted. And so then whoever is supervising the process called the sheriff, and they escorted all four people out. Now, not all four people engaged in any discussion at all. Two ever never even got outside the square. So we were kicked out, and we called the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State said, oh, well, they're probably acting okay. It's probably you all being aggressive. And in fact, they said that your guy assaulted them. So we sent our attorney there to look at the video that is required in this process. There was no evidence at all of any kind of an altercation. You could see they were having heated discussion, but it was not any physical touching. And so we warned in writing from our lawyer that the Secretary of State better have her facts right before she accuses us of anything. But this is the same county clerk that suddenly found 8,500 ballots the day after the election in Doniana County. She presented those, and somehow Associate Torres Small finished with such a large percentage of those ballots that she ended up winning the race when Yvette Harrell had been declared the winner the night before. So this is what's going on. Then on Saturday morning, again, we had a guy that was up doing what he's supposed to do, and they just summarily kicked him out too. And so this is how the Democrats are so unused to people being there to supervise what they're doing, that they're getting angry. They're getting pushed where they've never been pushed before. And so that's a series of stirs that are going on between the Republican Party and the Democrat County Clerk in Doniana County. Now, I must address also that the Secretary of State made an announcement a couple of days ago that she's just not going to be able to get finished counting the votes on election night. I'm sorry, what? She says in print that the surge of absentee ballots is so great, they're not going to be able to do it. Now, this is the same Secretary of State, Maggie Toulouse Oliver, who took $10 million from the federal government. They were wanting to take care of elections during COVID. They realized that it would be more expensive during the COVID, that people would be voting absentee. She took $10 million. And so I'm asking, what did she do with the money? If she didn't have it to hire the people, shame on her, because the money was there. She should have hired enough people to be able to count all the way through so that they're able to give us some decision here on election day. If you remember in 2004, you had George Bush running for re-election, and it was widely believed that New Mexico's five electoral votes could be the deciding five in the nation, much as I think they could be this time. Governor Bill Richardson would not let his Secretary of State certify the results. On election day, George Bush in New Mexico was up by 35,000 votes. I was running for re-election, so I was watching the numbers very closely, making note about them. When the election was finally certified, 23 days later, it was a public embarrassment to all of us. He eventually certified, but George Bush's lead had been cut from 35,000 down to 5,000. They had found 30,000 ballots out there somewhere. This is the illegal activity that I'm worried about right now. This is the reason we're pushing so hard to isolate down those county clerks that are intending to do no good, who are apparently up to no good and working behind closed doors. We wonder what they're hiding and why they're doing it. So that's the conflict that we've got going right now with the Secretary of State and with certain county clerks. We saw the election in 2018 be overturned by ballots that were found somehow that didn't exist the day before. Any county clerk can go in and print off all the ballots they want to print off. We just have to be able to see any votes that are put into the system and document where they come from. So we're going to continue the fight to make sure this is a free and a fair election. So I was reading a comment, Derek, that said that the Democrats in the Senate spent more time on Brett Kavanaugh's yearbook, his high school yearbook, than they spent on Hunter Biden's laptop. And his team is not disputing that it was his laptop and his emails. They just declared that he was setting up meetings with his father and taking a lot of money in return for getting those meetings set up. Well, then Tony Bobulinski, he was a partner. He actually ran part of the Biden Enterprises at one point, and he absolutely has declared in public that the vice president not only knew what was going when he said he knew nothing about his son's activities, business activities, he not only knew, but he was a willing participant in those. And so these are the things that speak about jail time when you're peddling influence, especially to someone like China, who is taking our jobs in the hundreds of thousands. They've caused tremendous economic devastation in many parts of the country. And then you find out that the vice president was selling influence. His son was setting up meetings with him and other government leaders. They were pushing through different packages that would help this country or that country. And they were making millions in the meantime. And so this has now become an FBI investigation. The thing that makes you really wonder is that the press is saying nothing about it at all. There are two things. The Democrats themselves are, of course, covering it up, which you would expect, but the media is helping them cover it up. That whole cover-up then caused a congressional investigation. The U.S. Senate invited in, Lindsey Graham invited in both Facebook and Twitter to come in and defend their actions when they were censoring this story, as the Washington Post put it out. And so President Trump is having to fight not only the Democrats, but a media that was tremendously biased against him. And we will see on Election Day, of course, as we're recording, that's 2 days from now.
I will be back in just a moment with a special guest coming up on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico, and I am excited to have our new representative for Congressional District 2 on the program, Yvette Harrell. Yvette, welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It is such an honor.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, and I think a lot of people are feeling like a wrong has been righted. Is that what you're getting?
I really feel that way. You know, I knew going into this race, we had a lot of people that were really feeling disenfranchised over what happened in 28, and I think you and I talked about it before. I know that there were a lot of people that really were encouraging me to run again and really part of our huge support on the ground. And I know that on Tuesday night, although it was late, I believe many voters felt that they had been vindicated. And you're right, it feels as though a wrong has been righted in New Mexico. So I couldn't be more excited and more proud.
And there was no question that you won. You won by a lot. So,
we did. Yeah. You know, we had, and I just give God all the glory, and I am so thankful for the ground game that we had. Our team was incredible, but, you know, it wasn't just our team either. It was hundreds of people that were very supportive and helping in a number of ways. Behind the scenes, there's people putting up signs and knocking doors and making calls and writing notes, and just, it is really a team effort to do something like this, and I couldn't be more excited and more proud of all of the people that helped us across the finish line.
Now, we're recording this on the Thursday after Election Day, so as we do this, we don't know who the next president is going to be, but Do you see similarities in what's happening to President Trump with absentee ballots and suddenly finding more votes for Biden out of the blue as similar as to what happened to you 2 years ago?
Yes, it really kind of feels like it. And, of course, we're watching everything unfold just as you are. And it is kind of interesting. I talked to several colleagues of mine from around the country that are either members of Congress or won their elections on Tuesday night. And they're seeing things that happened similar to what we saw in Doniana County 2 years ago, now happening in other states like Pennsylvania. But I feel like they've got a handle on it. I believe President Trump has a good legal team on the ground, and it looks like they're going to be peeling through those ballots and really paying attention. And it really is looking like there's an opportunity for President Trump to stay in office for 4 more years.
Well, no matter what happens with the presidency, you are going to be serving in the minority party in Congress, although we did pick up some seats. So are you prepared? I guess you are, because you served in the minority party in the state house as well.
Yes. So I'm very familiar with how that works, you know, and even serving in the minority, except for the 2 years that Republicans had the majority in the New Mexico House, I was able to be still a very effective legislator, working with my colleagues across the aisle, working with constituents of all party to help connect dots, solve problems, and get things done. So a lot of times it's not always about the legislation. It's also about the constituent service and being able to help people with solutions to issues they may be having, whether it's with a tax office or with the environmental office and so forth. So I look forward to helping constituents in the same way in the minority in Washington, but also working on good policies that'll help New Mexicans.
And to that, as New Mexicans, now you won. And you're a Republican, obviously, but now you're everybody's congressperson, right?
That's right. I used to say this, you know, as a state house representative, I would say, look, the people in my district can vote me in or out of office, but the vote that I cast, up or down vote I cast, will affect everybody in the state. And now you're right. It's the same thing, only on a larger scale. You know, second congressional votes me in or out of office, but my policies and the decisions I make will affect all New Mexicans and, quite frankly, all of America. So it's just critical now that we have those good relationships like I had as a state representative.
Well, I have to say, I'm glad we can put all these political ads behind us. I got so tired of hearing, you know, the stuff that not just Social Tourist Small was running. There was actually a PAC running an ad against you saying that PACs were sending you money.
I thought that was funny, too. A PAC ad attacking me for having a PAC money, and it's kind of like an oxymoron.
Yeah.
So no one's more excited about the ads being done than myself and obviously my family. And what was really great is I believe it was KOB, Chris Ramirez, ran that really great story and really debunked all of the things they were attacking me on. I mean, they, in fact, had information from the state that showed that in the 8 years I served, I had less than $3,000 paid to me for reimbursement of out-of-state travel to go to conferences where I worked on policy that we brought back for the state of New Mexico and our businesses. So, yeah, it was really far-fetched there and really misconstrued. But you know what? I'm just grateful. I think the voters knew that those ads were fake and false 2 years ago. They were the same concept this time, and it just didn't work. And I think it's a testament to, you know, you just don't insult the intellect of the voters. And as much work as we've done on the ground and meeting with people all over the district, people know my character. They know my character as a person. They knew that I served with integrity and honesty in the state legislature. And I just don't think those ads really took off like they had wanted them to. So I'm thankful for that.
Now, tell me about election night. I imagine you're watching TV and looking at the computer and getting the results. What was going on? You were at home, I guess, with your family. What was going on with you?
Yeah, we just had a small get together at my mom and dad's home, and my sisters came in and watched, and of course our team. And we were like everybody, just glued to the TV, watching the numbers, and we saw that enormous lead in the beginning, but we knew it would kind of level off a little bit just by virtue of actually voting day ballots starting to get tallied. But the absentee and in-person voting for New Mexico voters, GOP voters, was amazing. And, of course, it did start kind of leveling off, but yet somehow we stayed with a huge lead. And even when finally, I think it was KOB, called the race, mathematically, we still had 27,000 vote lead, which was incredible. And then Doniana County, they were a little bit late getting in their tallies, but once they did, our lead did go down a little bit. But at the end of the night, to have finished with an 8-point lead and finish that strong was incredible. To take out a Democrat incumbent when the state basically was bright blue, except for in second congressional for our race, I'm just so humbled and honored and thankful for the turnout.
So what's next?
First and foremost, we'll just continue to visit with the district. I want to keep talking to everybody, traveling around. We'll start mobilizing a really good in-state district base of people in our offices and start getting that kind of lined up and mobilized, because I want the voters to know that they will still have direct access to me or access directly through one of our staffers. And we're starting to kind of develop a plan again so we can mobilize and start thinking about district offices and that type of thing. There is a new member orientation that I'll have to go to in the next couple of weeks and be gone to D.C. for that. And then just prepare and be ready to hit the ground running. I think it's January 3rd is when they're doing the swearing in. And then we just want to be in a position where we can continue to represent the people of New Mexico and start to work on January 4th. And it'll really kind of see, we'll see what happens in the next couple of days with this presidential election as well, see what's going to happen in terms of who's in the White House.
Well, Yvette, thank you for joining us on Inside New Mexico. And we'll look forward to talking with you again. But I'm so glad we have at least one now Republican representative for us in the state of New Mexico looking out for our values.
Well, I am so blessed and honored and, you know, couldn't be more proud. And I can't wait to get to work for the people of New Mexico. And it was a long 4 years getting here, but I know people won't be disappointed because we're going to stay in connection with everyone and work our tails off for the people of New Mexico.
That's so great to hear, Yvette. Thank you so much for calling in. Now, for our listeners, if you would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, you can go to www.gopnm.org. They have a Facebook page and a Twitter account. You can also call at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again next week right here on Inside New Mexico.